It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Just a quick mention that as the impact of COVID-19 grows here in Wisconsin, WPR continues to bring you coverage of the latest developments from our reporters who are around the state. We've centralized our news and developments on this at WPR.org/COVID. Right now, oral arguments are set for tomorrow over the Safer at Home orders. The state Supreme Court is weighing a lawsuit to overturn the stay-at-home order issued by Governor Evers' administration that is set to expire on May 26th. Republican lawmakers asked the high court to strike down the order, saying it's crushing our economy. So do you support Republicans who are suing to end the stay-at-home order? Or do you think it sets a dangerous precedent? How long do you think the stay-at-home order should last and why? We're at 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. He is co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, let's start with these oral arguments set for tomorrow. What might we hear and how are they going to do these arguments?
Yeah, you know, they're going to do them virtually, which is what the state Supreme Court has done recently for other oral arguments. You know, they issued a bunch of orders themselves back in March that affected the way that the court system has run. And that has applied to the way that the state Supreme Court has done its business. They've already had some virtual oral arguments, and that'll be the case with these as well, I believe. If you want to watch these, you can't go to the Capitol and watch the arguments. You're going to have to, you know, tune in to Wisconsin Eye.
Okay, so they'll have these arguments tomorrow. The court Friday said it would take up this case. What do we know about how the justices feel here?
We don't know specifically on this law, because this is the first time that this law has been challenged before the court. You know, generally speaking, excuse me, it wouldn't be a Monday if I didn't have a frog in my throat there.
That's
Kate.
Okay. Take your time.
Sorry. Yeah. If we know, generally speaking, that this court has sided with Republican lawmakers on a number of disputes between the executive and the legislative branch recently. We know that it's got a 5-2 conservative majority on the court. So those are kind of the factors that everybody's looking at. But when it comes to COVID-19 and, you know, the historic times we're living in, maybe a little uncertainty there. I mean, the court did issue an order back in March. This affected its own operations, but it shut down jury trials until, you know, May 22nd, that's about when the state's stay-at-home extension is set to expire. So it's not like it's something that the entire court has said, you know, you just never mind what's going on here, go about your business. They took kind of an extraordinary step in the court system, but this will be the first time that they're weighing in on the powers that are before them right now.
Okay, so step back here on the case itself. Why did Republican lawmakers file a lawsuit with the state Supreme Court here?
They are saying that DHS Secretary Andrea Palm overstepped her authority when she issued the stay-at-home extension. So we've heard a lot of executive orders, emergency orders issued over the past couple months by Governor Tony Evers and his administration. Evers has his own set of emergency powers that he unlocked almost 2 months ago now. And those have allowed him to issue a number of orders, but those expire after 60 days. And those can be revoked at any time by the legislature by passing a joint resolution. They don't need the governor's signature to strike them down. You know, the legislature has the power to turn those on or off over the course of 60 days. The powers that they're challenging with Andrea Palm are different. They're written into state law. They've been in state law for a long time, and they give her power to deal with communicable diseases. And the law spells out things like, you know, lets the Department of Health Services shut down schools, shut down churches, you know, ban gatherings. I mean, these are the kinds of things that the law spells out. But what lawmakers are saying is that even if DHS wants to do that, DHS has to promulgate administrative rules that send those orders through the legislature. And that essentially would give the legislature veto power over what the Evers administration does.
All right. Well, let's take a call on this. Eric is with us from Portage. Oh, I'm sorry. And Eric is not here. How about Barbara in Rice Lake? Hi, Barbara. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. I just want to point out that the Republicans just seem to be very foolish. They're trying to take away all the powers because we have a Democratic governor. But they don't seem to realize that those changes are going to apply when a Republican is in office also. Thank you.
Barbara, thanks for calling in. Sean, State Senator Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald spoke about the lawsuit that Republican lawmakers filed with the state Supreme Court on WISN's Upfront.
Listen, we've got a process, a very formal process that we've used for hundreds of years here in Wisconsin, which is called rulemaking, which is a back and forth discussion between the executive branch and the legislative branch when you're making law. And they have completely circumvented that.
Okay, so we hear, the majority leader, Scott Fitzgerald, there saying there is process here. Barbara from Rice Lake saying, look, this could come back and haunt Republicans later.
I think any time that, a legislature takes power away from an executive, it's viewed differently depending on the political circumstances, for sure. As far as the rules that Senator Fitzgerald's talking about, it's kind of an arcane process. It is a lengthy process, and that's sort of the crux of the debate here, is that they want the Evers administration to go through the legislature to issue these administrative rules. The Evers administration is saying that takes time, that when you're dealing with communicable diseases, they move fast, and you need an executive branch to be nimble, and be able to react to what's happening on the ground based on numbers that are changing quickly.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. We're looking at the rising tension and litigation over the Safer at Home order that restricts our movements to try to curb the spread of the virus. If you're against the stay-at-home order, what restrictions do you think are appropriate during this pandemic? What do you make of this lawsuit? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, what has the Evers administration's response been to this lawsuit with the state Supreme Court?
So, there have been kind of an abbreviated week of briefs here, and the Evers administration asked the Supreme Court to dismiss the case, or at the very least hear oral arguments, which the court is now going to do. They said that, the DHS powers are well grounded in state law. If you go and look at the section of the statutes on communicable diseases, it spells out these powers for the DHS secretary. And then they also said, essentially what I was just mentioning there, that time is of the essence when it comes to dealing with communicable diseases, when it comes to dealing with something like COVID-19, and that other states don't have these types of restrictions on their the equivalent of their health officer, basically, that having to go through the administrative rule process like a governor has to in Wisconsin under the law and under other laws for sure, will slow things down to the point that the state can't effectively, as a government, respond to COVID-19.
The virus could spread more quickly than the political process could perhaps keep up with. Let's go to Greg now in Sheboygan with thoughts on this. Greg, hi.
Hello. I believe that the Republicans are acting unconscionably by opening up, even the voting, in-person voting. Now, in my estimation, and I know that they caused some cases of, and I think each one of them is manslaughter. These guys, they're in a position. They have to use their minds. I was a biochemist and things, and I'm I work for a business that is allowed to stay open during the COVID-19 crisis, and I'm voluntarily staying in my room. I haven't left my room except for I went fishing on Sunday all by myself. I kept distance from everybody. But only thing I do is go to the store once in a while, and otherwise I'm just sitting home.
So, Greg, Greg is being very rigid about the social distancing and about the safer at home order. Sean, what do we know about the timeline of the Supreme Court case and if they rule against Governor Evers?
We don't really know much about the timeline because they can move very quickly when they want to. You know, they did, it was a different law and, you know, different circumstances, but Governor Evers did bring that, he did try to postpone the April 7th election. He issued that order on April 6th using a different set of powers, and the Supreme Court struck it down like 4 hours after he issued it. So they can move that fast when they want to. And I think when this case was filed, Republicans were asking them to stop the Safer at Home extension from taking effect. Well, it took effect. So they've moved a little slower already. And then I think a lot of us were watching for potentially an order as soon as late last week, because briefs were filed by Thursday. And it seemed like potentially, you know, that they could issue something on a Friday. They didn't take that step. So it's already taken a little longer than some of their one of their recent expedited cases. But how long it goes from here after oral arguments on Tuesday, we do not know.
And if Republicans win the case, they have 6 days to find a compromise with Governor Evers.
So that is their suggestion.
Okay.
The court would not be bound by it. You know, they're saying they're asking the court to issue a 6-day stay to basically freeze everything as it is right now so that they can the Evers administration can send an administrative rule down. The Evers administration says that's impossible, that 6 days by law, you can't get through the administrative rule process that quickly. So it's up to the court to decide whether or not to issue a stay or how long. And even if they do, 6 days might not be enough time to get something done between Evers and the legislature, even if they're willing to do that.
We have WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson as our guide. If the Safer at Home order stays in place to the end of the month, will your business survive? How do you think the state should balance reopening the economy with public health? What do you think of a patchwork approach to reopening businesses in more rural areas that have seen fewer cases of the disease? Be part of this 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up in a minute with more State Cap and Sean Johnson here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're looking at competing views on how to reopen Wisconsin's economy and the politics of fighting the coronavirus pandemic, the Supreme Court case, Governor Evers' proposed criteria for loosening restrictions on businesses. But Republicans said it still imposes too many hurdles for businesses to get back on track. What course of action should Wisconsin be on here? And how do you want decisions made as to what can open and when? Be part of this at 800-642-1234. We have WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson, who stays with us. So, Sean, what solutions have Republican lawmakers presented for reopening the economy? We did hear from the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce last week, the state's Chamber of Commerce. What's on the table?
So there's no Republican bill out there. You know, they haven't introduced a formal bill and said, this is our response. And they didn't present one to the court either. They're saying that the Evers administration overstepped its authority and that future orders need to go through the legislative rulemaking process. So they're still saying any of these orders would be developed by the governor's office. They're not coming out with their own plan per se. All that said, I would say they have definitely rallied around this WMC plan, Back to Business. It's the state's largest business group. Broadly speaking, the WMC plan would replace the governor's plan for a more gradual reopening of the state, potentially a very gradual reopening of the state. Where the governor's plan is based on testing and a 14-day decline in the percentage of positive tests and hospital bed capacity, metrics like that, those metrics are absent from the WMC plan. So what the WMC plan would do is a business would basically, the way that they envision it, they'd go to a state website, plug in the type of business that they are based on a national code that categorizes different industries. That would tell the state what kind of interactions potentially they would have with customers or other employees. And then they plug in where they are. And so then the state would, you know, look at what type of hospital bed capacity they have in the region and, the percentage of positive cases they have in their county. And that would give them suggestions on the types of restrictions that they would need to have at their business. So when I say restrictions, I'm talking about like what type of personal protective equipment that people would have to wear, masks or gloves potentially, but it's not really a mandate and it doesn't really spell out exactly what type of stuff business employees would have to wear depending on the circumstances. It's kind of a rough outline of what something could look. And it would, I think the key thing is it would be more regional and not statewide, and it would not rely on those testing benchmarks.
And so this is where we've heard about that patchwork approach to opening up the community and offering rural Main Streets more of an opportunity to get businesses open. What has the Evers administration said about that?
So Evers has said that there's some things to like about the WMC plan. He hasn't come out and attacked it. When he talks about a regional approach, he's less favorable of that, though. The idea that you could have more restrictions in Dane County or Milwaukee County or, Brown County or Kenosha County, as we're looking at the latest data, more restrictions in place like that and fewer restrictions in smaller counties. I mean, the governor has said the trouble with that is that the virus won't respect county lines, and some of those rural counties are the counties that have the smallest hospital capacity. So that's the general back and forth between Republicans who want the regional approach and Governor Tony Evers who does not.
The governor also ordered a 5% cut in state spending due to revenue losses from COVID-19. What decisions have been made about which areas would see cuts?
He was talking about a 5% state operations budget cut. And so just to give you some perspective on that, I mean, a 5% operations cut, the governor estimated it would save the state about $70 million in this fiscal year. That's $70 million. The two-year budget, which is all funds, state and federal funds, is about $84 billion. Mm. So, I mean, you don't want to minimize $70 million because it's not nothing. But it is a drop in the bucket for the overall budget. And the governor has said in a letter to the White House that without some help, the state is going to have a $2 billion deficit in the upcoming year. So there's going to be some tough decisions on the horizon in terms of dealing with this budget, given the way things are going and given our astronomically high unemployment rate right now.
We're talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief, looking at the situation and the state's response to COVID-19, the lawsuit as well, with your insights, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Kelly now in Cascade. Hi, Kelly. What are you noticing? Hi.
Yeah, so I'm a manager in healthcare. I'm worried about the economy. I've had to personally go through layoffs, but I'm also very concerned about opening prematurely without having social distancing measures strongly in place. I think the more rural you go, the more people are not practicing social distancing. I see gatherings of families and children, well above the recommendations. I see people standing in line in gas station lines, shoulder to shoulder, or in huddles of people with no one behind the desk wearing a mask. Nobody else is wearing a mask. If I walk in with a mask, I look like I've come from another planet. And nobody understands really that I'm not doing it because I have it. I'm doing it because I don't know, and I don't want to make other people be more at risk than they need to be. I don't think we can really safely reopen unless people are practicing what they need to be.
Kelly, thank you so much for bringing those observations to the table. Kelly, working as a manager in healthcare, Sean, we had heard from Secretary Palm earlier, who had in recent weeks been referred to having czar-like powers over the people of Wisconsin. Who ultimately should get to decide how much risk is acceptable to take in this pandemic, and when and why a business, may be able to reopen or not?
It's a big question, right? I mean, the Andrea Palm has broad powers under the law, but she answers to Governor Tony Evers, who is elected by the people of the state. The legislature is saying, you know, we're the voice of the people. We're elected by the people of the state. And, you know, typically they both have a role in a situation like this. And the court is going to decide whether they both have a role in this particular situation or not. But these are big questions, and stuff is changing fast. You know, Kelly mentioned the mask thing. It does definitely vary depending on where you're at. Some businesses now requiring and some not. There are some states where they're requiring masks now in public, and we're not doing that here. So all of this is changing pretty quickly, and imagine what we'll be talking about a week from now.
Sean, looking closer at the budget, the UW system is one of the state's largest employers. What repercussions would a cut in state spending have on the UW system?
It all depends on the kind of cuts that we're talking about. You know, the UW is already instituting furloughs to kind of offset some of the fiscal pain. Should mention that WPR is a service of the UW-Madison. These are furloughs that are instituted up until, I think, October is when they'll be spread out to. I mean, I think there's a very real possibility, and this is just having covered state government during the Great Recession and kind of looking at what we're going through right now, that it's the tip of the iceberg here in terms of the types of spending cuts that the state's going to institute and to deal with the revenue losses here, which are substantial.
Sean, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capital Bureau Chief. He's co-host of the WPR Politics Podcast. Just ahead, we talked with a dairy farmer from West Bend who has had to dump thousands of gallons of milk every day for over a month now. And as we continue to look at how the pandemic keeps businesses closed and affects the economy, that conversation next hour. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.